So glad you're here today. If you have your Bible, if you'll turn with me to 1 Kings, the 18th chapter. 1 Kings, the 18th chapter. And I'm going to read a story to you. And I want you to listen to the whole story. A lost art in the church is reading the Word of God. Lost art. We tell stories, we quote bits of passages, but reading the Word. We're going to begin in verse 20. Now, let me set it up for you. Here are the characters in the story. You've got Elijah, prophet of God, holy man, set apart man, anointed man, power of God. Then fill in the rest of those blanks. You got him. And then you got Jezebel. Wouldn't you want to have a name that forever, from the time she lived, it has been used as a name to describe everything that is bad with a woman? I mean, how about that? You Jezebel. You know, you've got all the prophets of Baal. Baal's in the story, the false god. But then we have the Lord Himself, Yahweh. A meeting has been set up, a showdown, if you will, up on Mount Carmel. Elijah is going to meet there with the prophets of Baal, and they're going to have a showdown to see who is truly God. Who's the real God? Who's the true Elohim? Verse 20. So Ahab sent a message among all the sons of Israel and brought the prophets together. This meaning the false prophets. Prophets of Baal. At Carmel. And Elijah came near to all the people and he said, "How long will you hesitate between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow Him. But if Baal, then follow him." But the people did not answer him a word. Then Elijah said to the people, "I alone am left a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Now let us give two oxen and let them choose one ox for themselves and cut it up and place it on the wood, but put no fire under it. And I will prepare the other ox and lay it on the wood, and I will not put fire under it either." Got the story? You follow me so far? Got it pictured in your mind. Up on Mount Carmel, this big, you got all the prophets of Baal over here, Ahab and his guys. You got Elijah, the prophet of God, on this side. Verse 24. "Then you call on the name of your God, and I'll call on the name of the Lord, of Yahweh. And the God who answers by fire, He is God." And all the people said, "That's a good idea." So Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, "Choose one ox for yourselves and prepare it first, for you are many. And call on the name of your God, but put no fire under it." Then they took the ox which was given them, and they prepared it, and they called on the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, "O Baal, answer us." And there was no voice, no one answered. They leaped about the altar which they made. Getting the picture here? And it came about at noon that Elijah mocked them. Now who's to say that humor is not in the Scripture? Here it is. And look what Elijah has to say to him. "Call out with a loud voice, for he is a god. Either he's occupied or gone aside, or he's on a journey, Or perhaps he's asleep and needs to be awakened. So they cried with a loud voice. Here's the funny part is they fall into his taunts. They get louder. So they cried with a loud voice and they cut themselves, according to their custom, with swords and lances until the blood gushed out on them. Imagine that. This is a bloody mess that's taking place. You got the sacrifice over here, but then you have them, the bloody mess of, imagine all these hundreds that's taking place. Verse 29. And when midday was past, they raved until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. But, and here's a key verse, there was no voice. No one answered, and no one paid attention. Then Elijah said to all the people, come near. So all the people came near to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord, of Yahweh, which they had torn down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes, sons of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, Israel shall be your name. So with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench around the altar, large enough to hold 2 measures of seed. And then he arranged the wood, and he cut the ox in pieces, and he laid it on top of the wood. And he said, fill 4 pitchers with water, and pour it out on the burnt offering and on the wood. And he said, do it a second time. They did it a second time. He said, do it a third time. They did it a third time. And the water flowed around the altar, so much so that it filled the trench with water. At the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, Elijah the prophet came near. Now, I can't say to you that this is absolutely, but as I interpret that, came near. He wasn't just coming near to the altar. He wasn't just coming near to the people. First and foremost, he was coming near to the Lord. Who was there? He was choosing this. He was there in obedience to the Lord. Now remember, we've got a drought that's been going on that he said was going to happen, that God prophesied through him was going to happen. It's been going on for a long time. And so there's famine in the land. It's got everybody's attention. There's a lot of things happening, a lot of ancillary things that are happening all around the situation. So it's charged right now. It's like you funneled down to this time, to this point in history, this appointed time. In the New Testament, in Greek, you call that a kairos time, a time that is filled for a special time, a special action that's going to happen. So it says he came near and he says, Yahweh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, today let it be known that you are the God. You're the Elohim in Israel. And I am your servant. And I've done all these things at your word. Let me ask you right there. How much is he holding back? Look at his hands. They're empty. He's not holding back reserve. He doesn't have a plan B. All these prophets of Baal, including Ahab the king, wants to kill him. He wants him dead. He wants him 6 feet under. In fact, he'd like for Elijah to be the one that is on that altar when the fire comes. For you, and according to your word, I've done all these things. I've been obedient. A pure heart before the Lord. Verse 37, answer me, O Lord, answer me, that this people may know that you, Yahweh, you're the God, you're the Elohim of Israel, and that I have turned, and that you have turned their heart back again. Do you see him placed himself in this? I mean, talk about a picture of the coming of Jesus. Here he is, placing himself in the gap for these people. What do the Israelites deserve at this point? Burn spot. That's what they deserve. But you see, the Lord is making it His word plain to them. And He's given them a prophet such as this who loves them, who's going to stand in the gap for them. Oh Lord, answer me, that this people may know that you, Yahweh, our God, that you've turned their heart back again. And then, verse 38, the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering, the wood and the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. Now, what kind of fire was that? That was a God-breathed fire. When all the people saw it, they fell on their faces. And what was the question he had asked them earlier? Do you remember? Choose this day. How long? Joshua says the same thing. How long will you hesitate between two opinions? And suddenly they make up their mind. Because what has just happened? The God who answers by fire will be the Elohim, the God of Israel. And he answered by fire. When the people saw it, they fell on their faces. They said, the Lord, He is God. Yahweh, He is God. Yahweh, He is God. Then Elijah said to them, seize the prophets of Baal. Do not let one of them escape. So they seized them. And Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon, and he slew them there. Now Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat and drink, for there's a sound of the roar of a heavy shower. What's about to come? Rain. Do you think that at this, we can speculate about this all day long, but do you think at this point that Ahab might have begun to think that maybe what Elijah was speaking was true? They've not had rain in a long time. I can hear the sound. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, but Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he crouched down on the earth. Imagine him now, down, crouching down on his knees, and he put his face between his knees. And he said to his servant, go down and look toward the sea. And so he went up and he looked and he said, there's nothing. He said, go back seven times. Came about the seventh time, he said, behold, a cloud as small as a man's hand is coming up from the sea. And he said, go up and say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down so that the heavy shower does not stop you. You're talking about speaking prophetically. Speaking like what has been spoken is going to happen. It's absolutely going to happen. In a little while, the sky grew black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy shower. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And then the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins, and he outran Ahab to Jezreel. Talk about a marathon guy. Imagine that. Imagine that. Now, a lot of ways we could go with this passage of Scripture. But I want you to go back to verse 29. When midday was past, they raved until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, but there was no voice. No one answered, and no one paid attention. No voice. Who had they been praying to? The prophets of Baal had been praying to Baal. This representation of a demon, of some demonic entity, depending on how you interpret that and all, but definitely evil. You wonder why they would believe in such as this. There must have been times where they saw demonic power manifest. We see that in the Scripture. We see other places where that is manifest. But at this point in time, God holds His hand. It cannot manifest at this time. Turn to Revelation 13. Verse 13 and 14. Verse 11, actually, we'll begin there. Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb. He spoke as a dragon. He exercises all authority of the first beast in his presence, and he makes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast, whose fatal wound was healed. And he performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down out of heaven to the earth, to the presence of men, and he deceives those who dwell on the earth because of the signs which he's been given to perform in the presence of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth, make an image to the beast who had the wound of the sword and has come to life. I read that to you to show that there, that evil, there will be a time future when that fire will come down, that God will allow that at that time. He didn't allow any kind of activity, any kind of sign to come forth from Baal or any of those that were there. And imagine what kind of assortment must have been there as you see the concentration of evil. You read about Baal, you read through Scripture, and you see all this concentration of evil. He is like a pile of garbage that flies are attracted to. That's the kind of evil that's there. But his hand is held on this day. You see, there's no voice. Because at last, there's only one voice, isn't there? Who spoke the world into existence? Who speaks into your life? And when we read this word, we hear Him speaking, don't we? As He comes to us at times, at crisis times in our life, there is a voice, and it is the voice of the Lord Himself. I don't know where you are right now. I know as we've been praying for the past couple of weeks, we talked about last week, with all the things that are going on in people's lives, the busyness and the being ground up by the world, the flesh, and the devil. The cruel things that seem to be happening in families as there is division and there is strife and there is struggle. The struggle that's going on in the world today. And for us to sit here and act like, oh, it's all hunky-dory, you know, let's get around the campfire, sing a little kumbaya, and everything's going to be all right, and not recognize the battle that we're in and the voice that we need, the voice of the Lord himself. I want to ask you, when God speaks, do you recognize it? Can he make himself recognizable? You bet. He can get your attention, can he? But you see, the prophets of Baal heard no voice. No voice. But what did Elijah hear? What had he been hearing up to that point? God had been speaking to him. God had been speaking in his still small voice. And now he speaks in this loud voice as fire comes down from heaven. No voice. No one answered. How many of you have had an answer to prayer this week? Put your hand up. I want to see. Look around you. Answer to prayer this week. No God. I've got two hands up. Two hands up. My mama gained a little over 2 pounds this week. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's been the best week. She's had the best week that she's had in a while. Praise be to God. Praise be. God delivered Jack Sexton, Roy Sexton's father, this week from his pain and his suffering. And at 86 years young, he went click, click, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Bingo, bango, praise be to God. And where is the sorrow for that? Any sorrow in his side about that this week, huh? Do you want to drag anybody back? No. Where's the sorrow? The sorrow's here. Sorrow's here. That's why we need the Lord. He answers. There was no answer that day. And you see Elijah making fun of the prophets of Baal. There's no answer. It's hollow. What do the things of the world, the flesh, and the devil, what do they have in common that they do for people? That unholy triumvirate, what does it do for people? Steal, kill, destroy. At the end of the day, when the dust settles, what is there? It's kind of like this guy was telling me years ago. He said, man, you need to send some of your people this marriage counselor. I said, well, tell me about his marriage. Oh, man, he's great. He's got a great way with people. I said, well, what about his track record? He said, what are you talking about? I said, well, when you send the people to him, do they stay married? He said, well, let me get back to you on that. So I talked to him the next week. He said, well, you know, come find out, everybody likes him, but they end up getting divorced. I said, what kind of marriage counselor is that? When the dust settled, what happened? You just make people feel good about caving in. And not standing strong. When the dust settles, who answers? Who is with you? Finally, no one paid attention. No one paid attention. No voice. No one answered. And no one paid attention. Isn't it wonderful that the Lord of the universe, Yahweh himself, was mindful of everything that was going on with Elijah? He knew every heartbeat. He knew everything that was going on in his life. And he came and he answered. He is present with us. What's one of Jesus' names in the New Testament that means that he's with you? Huh? Emmanuel. He's with you. He's with you. Doesn't matter what's going on. What kind of garbage is coming your way? What kind of stuff is happening? He'll be with you. And he pays attention. When you pray, does he just pay attention to your words? How many of you here have felt inadequate recently to put into words your prayer before the Lord? Anybody? Anybody share that with me? Okay. Now, do you think the Lord hears your heart? Yes, sir, He does. He knows you. He knows your heart. It's just like a mother with their little preschooler coming in and jibber jabber. And what did the kid just say? He said, "Well, he wants peanut butter and jelly sandwich. He'd like a glass of milk with that too." I didn't hear him say that. But what was she hearing? His heart. She knew the way to his heart was through his stomach. She was applying that truth. It's interesting as we, I've been with families as they watch loved ones die. And I can hear them saying words. And those that are closest to them say, what is he talking about? Oh, he's talking about grandma and 40 years ago, you know, this happened and that happened. And they're connecting all the dots. How can they know all that? Because they have been with one another. They have been together. You see, the Lord Himself is with you. He wants to put it in a modern expression, He wants to get all up in your stuff. Because you know what? He's already there. He's just waiting for you to recognize the fact that He already knows everything about you. Where you come in agreement with Him. And what happens when you come in agreement with Him? We sang about it just a moment ago. There is peace. I want to ask you, was there peace up on Mount Carmel in that story? I mean, look at the story. There's been drought. You got a bunch of rowdy Israelis there. They're rowdy. I mean, they don't know which way they're going to go. You got all these prophets of Baal that are hanging around. You got a king that has the power of life and death, and he's saying they can have you put to death, he thinks, anytime he wants to. And there is Elijah standing up there. Is there anything in that scenario from a human standpoint that would indicate to you that there's any peace whatsoever in that situation? Not one bit until you bring out the big hammer. What's the big hammer? The one who speaks. And he speaks things into existence. And he's speaking to you. In music, when you come in agreement with the melody, what does that mean? That means you're singing the same tune. I was singing in a choir years ago, led by one of the best musicians that ever came to Savannah, Georgia, choir directors. Great guy. We were singing along, and all of a sudden, and he stops. He's got his little baton. He stops. He says, "Somebody is out of tune." And he starts looking. And he said, "Let's sing again." He taps that. He gets that baton. "Let's sing again." And he starts. And he's going around. And he's listening. And then, oh, man. And I just... And he said, "Now I want y'all to sing loudly." And I took him at his word. It was awful. Because the guy that I usually stood next to that I could sing with him, the guy that I was standing next to, he didn't know the song either. And he sang quietly, but I'd always done everything in a big outside voice. And he stopped everything and he said, and he points the baton at me and he says, "It's you!" Oh, what humiliation. I know some of y'all enjoying this a lot, especially one in the back there. A lot. "It's you!" He said, "Well, what's your problem?" I said, "I can't sing." Afterwards, he said, now next time, I want you to stand by, and he mentioned this guy, oh man, he could sing like an angel. And you know what I would do? I would come in agreement with him. I would sing that same tune when I could. And when it started coming out wrong, I could hear it. It's wrong. And I'd shut up. Is there a spiritual application in that? We must come in agreement with His voice. We must depend on Him for His answer. And we must know that He's paying attention to everything that's going on in our lives. Everything. Now, if the God of the universe is doing that, the captain of your soul, the captain of your salvation is doing that. If you believe that He can save you, why can't we believe that He'll be with us in our lives right here and now? Why not? He's Lord. Let's bow our heads. This is the day the Lord has made, and we rejoice and we're glad in it. Maybe you've come to your Mount Carmel and you've waffled between two opinions. Today's the day to decide, I'm going to not hold anything back. I'm going to put it all in the Lord's hands. Lord, there's nothing even in the most evil entity in the earth today will bow the knee to You because You're Lord of all. Lord, right now, I intercede in prayer for people that are going through the struggle of life. Lord, some that are having problems with their marriages today. They're at each other. There's distance. God, I'm asking You to come. Restore hope. Answer that prayer, Lord, as we submit ourselves to You. Lord, there's some here who need jobs today. We need employment. I'm asking You, Lord, You will provide. You are the one who provides. But Lord, for many of us who have let our relationship with You slip away, I'm asking You today, come, Lord, as we invite You to be Lord of it all. Lord of our lives. Lord of who we are. Lord of what we do. Lord of how we spend our money, how we spend our time. Lord of our attitude. And You're even Lord over our belly aching. Lord, we confess our sin before You today. Lord, as we come in agreement with You, bring Your peace today, Lord. Bring Your peace. If you've never received Jesus into your life, today would be a good day to do business with Him. To receive Him. Just simply agree with Him about your sin and ask Him to come into your life and be your Lord. That's your boss. That's the CEO of your life. Do you want more today? Is there a problem on God's side? Cry out to Him today. Cry out to Him. You are Lord Jesus. The altar's open. Ask our pastors to come, our life group leaders that are here, kind of surround the building, to come. This is your time to do business with the Lord. We call it ministry time. The altar's open. I want you to hear this test. We pray and we ask God to speak and move. This is Carolyn Palmer. She's the one that birthed this young lady right over here.
First of all, I wanted to thank you all for praying for my husband and his healing. He is healed. He is eternally healed and he's at peace. He's whole again. And I thank you for my church family here in Savannah and up home in Pittsburgh, my family. But I've never been a widow before, and this aching heart. You've prayed for wholeness for me, too. But we came to prayer Thursday with Pastor Dusty, and we were just praying for prayers for healing and wholeness and hope again. And Terry and I had the opportunity to take 2 days just away from the busyness of life and go to Jekyll Island as a mom and daughter and God. And God, He was our co-pilot all the way. But
attention to us.
Yeah, and our prayer was that, you know, that God, we would hear God, hear His voice, whatever He's been whispering to us. And He did in a tremendous way. We've found Galatians and just that this grief, it just surprises you. You're fine, then it's like a tsunami comes over you. You have no control over it. And you feel helpless and it just over and over and over, and we related. It is like labor pains. The old Carolyn Palmer that was married to Bill Palmer is gone. She'll never exist again. But God is creating me anew. I don't know who she's going to be. I don't know where she's going to be. I don't know what she's going to be doing. But I know it's good. God is making me whole again. And I praise Him for that message that came so clear to us this weekend. That's what we, it is true.
And He, once again, is with us.
Amen. But it's amazing. I wrote that praise on my yellow card is what I wrote the praise for. So thank you. Thank you all. Amen.
All right. Amen. Praise the Lord. Answer the prayer. Click, click. Bang, bang. He paid attention. He paid attention to you. When the world's trying to stump you and say, you're a nobody, you're a nobody. I'm the person that Jesus died for on that cross. And is coming to get me personally. Personally. We'd like to get those cards from you today. And if you have an offering to bring, there's and both cards, yellow cards and the info card. We promise not to shop any information that we get from you to anyone else. Now, if they're getting the information, it's not from us. Talk to some of your friends and relatives that they're getting that information. Okay? They're sending it out. But if you want to bring those cards, you have an offering to bring, you can bring it now. Now look this way one more time. We'll pray and send you out. Make sure you see your E3, right? Not E.T., but E3. Y'all need to see Christian and love her a little bit as she heads off this next adventure. Want to pray for you. Just got word Dan and McConnell has pneumonia. We pray for her healing today. There was an accident on the way in on 16. And we got people come from all over the place. Bad accident out there. And we will pray for those people out there. And thank God for answer to prayer. Prayers you prayed today, we're going to go in and thank Him prophetically right now for what He's going to do, right? Okay. Lord, we pray, we intercede for those people in that accident out on 16. Lord, I ask You to preserve their lives. We pray for Dan and I. We pray Your healing for her. Just like, Lord, we pray for Abby Bray. We pray for my mother. We pray for many others, Lord, who need Your healing today, Your healing hand. We ask You to do that, Lord. And we're believing, we're praying, believing today. Lord, send us out now. Send us out in the power of the Holy Spirit with the love of Jesus and the authority of Yahweh in our lives. Lord, thank You for how You're going to use us this week. In Jesus' name, amen.